The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition. Dom, we got President Joe Biden in the great state of Wisconsin. I got you here at the WMDX 92.7 FM Madison Studios. Welcome back, little buddy.
Hey, Crudy, great to be with you once again. Happy hump day to us all. Uncle Joe in town, man. It's almost like Wisconsin's kind of a big deal in this election cycle.
Do you come to Milwaukee often? Now, I just saw Kamala Harris not more than a week ago on the Capitol Square. She was in Madison, Wisconsin, my hometown. And, you know, we are going to be quite flexible today in deference to the president, because we may or may not have guests. You know, we got to work around his speech schedule. We are going to take as much of the live speech as we can. We expect President Joe Biden to speak in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, we know how these politicians are, man. And we saw him, was it in La Crosse years ago? He was vice president at the time, right?
You know, we are on our fourth presidential cycle.
That's crazy.
I mean, we saw Barack Obama the day before he won re-election on Bascom Hill in Madison.
That was a party.
That was a party.
But Joe's always late, man. Joe was in UW La Crosse doing a speech, and he was like outside the Eagles, the bar, right?
He was doing on-the-street interviews, and he should have been inside in the gymnasium.
And he acknowledged the fact when he was talking to folks.
I was supposed to be giving a speech 15 minutes ago.
Well, let's finish this. Yeah, Uncle Joe. President Biden in Wisconsin. That's excellent.
That is excellent. Dom, you know who occasionally visits the great state of Wisconsin? Senatorial candidate Eric Hovde.
Hovde. He comes here occasionally. I heard he's running for Senate, but I'm not sure where because he didn't say.
His campaign, dead on arrival, Dom. A new Rolling Stone expose. This one is unforgivable, as the headline states. And, you know, be your own judge. Don't believe just because Crudy says it. Here's the headline. GOP Senate candidate took bold stance against the sale of alcohol in Wisconsin.
You know he's not from Wisconsin.
Eric Hovde, who's running for office in a state famous for its booze, bemoaned the commercialization of alcohol in 2017.
Because prohibition was so much better, huh, Eric?
Dom, Wisconsin is famous for its booze and the Devil's Advocates, of course. The brands Miller, Schlitz, Pabst, and Blatz were all founded in Milwaukee, a city whose baseball team is the Brewers, and which is often called the beer capital of the world. Across the state, bars outnumber grocery stores roughly 3-1. Yeah. I don't know if I'm proud or embarrassed by that.
There's
figure.
A sandwich in every beer, Crudy. It's very efficient.
For a total of about 8 pubs for every 10,000 people. You know, at least you can get service that way. To say alcohol is an important industry in Wisconsin is to undersell the fact it accounts for more than 161,000 jobs that pay roughly $3.2 billion in wages a year, and that's just what they tell the IRS, and generates $2.6 billion in tax revenue, according to the most recent figures available from the Wisconsin Tavern League.
When we go drinking, Crudy, it's like community service. Supporting our neighbors.
Is that what we were doing last night?
Yes.
All of that is why it's surprising to hear a political candidate vying to represent the state in the U.S. Senate say it's a bad idea to commercialize alcohol.
Tastes great, less filling. I mean, come on, really? Really, man?
In 2017, when he was considering another run for office, Republican Eric Holvey said that if it were up to him, alcohol would only be available to people who brew it or distill it themselves. I thought those were moonshiners, Dom. I thought the revenuers would come looking for you. Acknowledging that it would be difficult to wind back the commercialization of alcohol, Hudvey went on to say, the horse is out of the barn, and it's going to be hard to put back.
But are you going to try to put it back, Hudvey?
Interesting question, Dom. Why would you oppose the commercialization of alcohol? That seems like an unpopular stance here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Seemingly. Hovde, a banking executive and real estate developer, is challenging Tammy Baldwin for her seat in the fall. The campaign is Hovde's second bid for the Senate in 2012. He lost to Tommy Thompson, whom Baldwin later defeated in the general. Hovde explored a second bid for Senate in 2018 before ultimately deciding against jumping into the race. But in May of 2017, when he was still mulling the possibility, he attended the Jefferson County Republican Party's Pints and Politics event in Johnson Creek, where he was asked about weed, according to a recording of the event shared with
the Rolling Stone. He was asked about weed?
Weed at the Pints and Politics.
Somebody beat him. Beat you to the punch, Dom, because if Ben Vocal from his campaign ever responds to our request,
our very respectful inquiry,
that Eric Hudvey join us here on the greatest radio show ever, I'm sure you would have gotten around to ask him the weed question.
Well, hell, man, at least Senator Johnson brought beer. I can't imagine Hovde's going to do that if that's his attitude about it.
What's his attitude about tequila?
What about legalizing marijuana? A member of the audience asked Hudvey. I'm opposed to that because I think it's a gateway, but that was the question. Hudvey responds.
Gateway to coolness.
You know what? I'm opposed to it as well. And where I am on it is this. I get the argument that marijuana is a lot less harmful than any other drug, including arguably alcohol. I don't think it's arguably. And that kids might try marijuana because it's illegal and think, oh, I handled that. I can try something harder. So I get the argument from people that are pro-marijuana. The easier situation would be just decriminalize it. Don't make it a commercial enterprise. I'm a libertarian in most cases, not when it comes to drugs. Let me pause for a moment here. But
a libertarian who's opposed to legalizing drugs.
When we were in college and I first kind of got involved, I voted, I found out there was this thing called the Libertarian Party. I was like, what? And they're down for legalizing marijuana. I was like, what? And so I voted that because the Dems weren't around. The Republicans weren't.
They inspired you.
They did. They moved me. Hubdy goes on to say, but if somebody says, okay, the medical reasons or whatever, I want to grow a plant. I want to smoke it. Fine. But why do we want to commercialize marijuana?
A plant. I want to smoke that plant. And if I'm too busy
right.
to grow that plant myself.
Or I don't have a green thumb or whatever the case may be.
I want it commercially available, readily available.
I want Uber Eats delivering my weed, man. In Detroit, you can get delivery, bro.
You know, when I want a steak, I go to the butcher. I don't go out
kill a cow?
I don't go to the pasture.
No, come on, man. Hovde, why do we want to commercialize marijuana? I don't get that. It's just another thing that society is going to have to bear the consequences and cost of. We just heard the consequences of cost of the booze, right? Billions of dollars.
Well, at least he's revenue. Consistent because he's against the commercialization of the booze and the marijuana. He's prohibitionist across the board,
yeah,
is he not?
And that didn't really work out, really kind of funded the gangs back in the day. I mean, think of, you know, Donald Trump's favorite guy, Scarface. But I continue the Rolling Stone article regarding Senator Wannabe Hubdy, who hates the booze and the weed. As Rolling Stone reports, marijuana, both medical and recreational, remains illegal in the state of Wisconsin, despite efforts to decriminalize it as recently as this legislative session. Hubdy went on to suggest that cannabis should not be made into a business, adding that alcohol should never have been commercialized either. Another quote from Hovde, the prohibitionist. So if we just decriminalize marijuana, fine. No one's going to go to jail. No one's going to get arrested for it. That's your self-determination. But you're not going to turn it into an enterprise. Frankly, it should have happened with alcohol, Hovde said in the audio. I mean, look at alcohol has a lot of negative byproducts. If somebody wanted to distill it, drink it, fine, go ahead. But sadly, as we know, it's produced a lot of negative byproducts as a part of society. I don't think adding more negative byproducts to society is a healthy thing. And saying that, I think the cat's out of, or the horse is out of the barn. It's going to be hard to put back.
Has he never heard of bathtub gin? You know, I kind of like a regulated industry when it comes to my booze drinking.
No doubt. And what is it about enterprise? I mean, don't you want, you know, a capitalistic society? Aren't these free market capitalists? And, you know, not everyone. Some people have really great thumbs. They're really good at growing weed. They're really good at brewing beer, whatever the case may be. You know, not everyone's going to want to do it. I want to go and buy it from someone, perhaps. And if I'm going to engage in that, well, perhaps it should be taxed. You know, bring some revenue to the state. That's what we do around here, is a sales tax at least, right? And the regulation. As an unlicensed pharmacist in college, I respected and adored my customers. But I had to give them what I got. You know, stem seeds and all. It wasn't an option for me. It wasn't regulated. I don't know if there was any mold or other things in it. It was just,
oh, there was.
You know? So these are, I got a niece in Michigan, just got a job going around and doing like samples of weed. That's her new job.
I know, I met her. I was there with you at Cousin Joe's house.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So it creates jobs. It creates a safe product, a service. It engages entrepreneurs that otherwise may not be involved. And there's, oh my God, there's a huge demand for it. Imagine that. But here's the quote-unquote libertarian, what, denouncing free market capitalism, denouncing the freedom to imbibe and engage in whatever activities, drug or otherwise. That doesn't seem very libertarian to me. Back to the Rolling Stone article briefly. Scott Stenger, who represents the Tavern League of Wisconsin, took issue with Hovde's remarks. You could probably make that same comment about Big Macs. I don't think it's very informed to look at reality of the economy, whether it's in Wisconsin or anywhere. Like anything, whether it's hamburgers or alcohol, there's a way that it can be enjoyed responsibly. To deny that it's not part of our economy is just not looking at the facts. It's a significant piece of our economy, and I think neighbors, regulators, and legislators understand that. Ben Volkel, our buddy, a spokesman for Hovde, said the candidate still backs decriminalization of marijuana and that he proudly supports Wisconsin breweries, distilleries, and wineries. Really?
But only if you do it yourself. I don't want to make a Big Mac at home.
If I want a Big Mac, I'm going to McDonald's. They make really good Big Macs. They do it a lot.
If I want beer, I'll go to a bar or maybe Dominic's house, because those are the people that do it best. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We do radio best. That's what we do. We do this at a high standard of excellence,
of course.
Some people say, come back. More Devils, phone lines open, 844-967-2789.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy hump day to us all. Join us on the lines with your take at 844-967-2789.
Eric Hudby, you're dead on arrival, man.
Don't
even take the next flight from Laguna Beach back to Wisconsin. Don't bother. If you've lost the Tavern League, you've lost the electorate.
Come on.
There's not enough teetotalers in this state to help you win the U.S. Senate. I mean, Tammy Baldwin, she's had some spotted cows, at least during the summer conventions. Tammy always is good for a barrel or two of the spotted cow.
So, and I just don't get it. You know, the revenue, again, we talk about the alcohol here in the state of Wisconsin, according to the Rolling Stone, 160,000 jobs, $3.2 billion in wages, and $2.6 billion in tax revenue. Why would anyone want to enterprise it? Because there's money in it, and people want it, and not everyone knows how to grow it or cares to know how to grow it. I mean, that's why we do it.
Having a still is a little dangerous. It's like making meth in your house. It's discouraged activity, isn't it? I mean, by his logic, okay, I'm not down for meth, but if you're going to do it, make it at home. You know, maybe the spare bedroom or where the kids sleep.
And the freedom, what about the freedom? Oh, you can do it yourself, but you know what? So what happens if Hovde's philosophy comes to light? What, you can't sell it? There's no regulation, and what are you going to do? Are you going to enforce people? You know, throw them in jail? No, You can smoke it, but you just can't sell it? Of course, how's that going to work? It's not going to work. Just like you're saying you can't smoke it, people are still going to sell it. Like we do right now in the state of Wisconsin. Hell, how many millions of dollars in tax revenue are we losing to Illinois and Michigan right now?
And that's just ours.
And Illinois is really expensive there. What about Detroit, right? Curbside service, Crudy. They bring it out to you, man.
That was nice.
It is nice.
That was nice.
You used to call it an open-air drug deal. Now it's curbside pickup, baby. See, Hovde, get with the times, man.
I had not thought of it in those terms, but it was very convenient. And they fulfilled both of our orders.
Yeah.
And I gave them cash, and they brought me back change.
There's all sorts of deals and giveaways, and they just kind of run the thing. Because, you know, apparently when there's lots of supply, Hovde, you should know this as a banker, lots of supply, well, prices go down. So you got to move it. Supply and demand, Hovde. Maybe you should go back to school. Come on, man. Terrible. And alcohol. Like, we haven't learned this lesson yet. I mean, we're still dealing with prohibition, right? We're still dealing with the effects of prohibition, man, for real. Think about how heavily regulated the alcohol industry is right now. Evers and all these folks are very, very happy that they kind of redid how booze is done in the state of Wisconsin. You know, some arcane laws got updated, basically. What were the reasons for all those things? Well, because it all stemmed from the prohibition, man. All the money going to the gangs.
Well, his libertarian thoughts, this Eric Hudvey, you know, let the free market solve this one. Those are the cartels. You know what I mean? Left to their own devices, you're saying let the cartels commercialize because someone's making revenue. Someone's filling the need, if you will. And just, you know, Dom's peers in college. We know, Dom, there was a very strong demand.
Yes.
Someone had to fill that
need. I mean, taking advantage of an opportunity, fulfilling a need. Again, I kind of feel like it's our duty. It's our community service.
Well,
I'm here for you.
If you'd have gotten caught, you'd have gotten worse than community service. I think the statute of limitations has expired.
I think so.
But on Hudvey, I mean, it's 2017. You know, the newest comments he's making. Well, I'm still not down for the legalized marijuana because, you know, it's terrible in California where I live.
Well, according to Ben Vogel, Hovde is backing decriminalization of marijuana and proudly supports Wisconsin's
decriminalization.
Breweries, distilleries, and wineries.
You know what decriminalization means? They can still use it as probable cause to pull you over.
Well, isn't that the whole
search
point?
Search your car.
Yeah.
Especially if you're brown or black.
Yeah. Isn't that convenient?
The decriminalization of marijuana has not been a good policy for some people. Now, as a white guy, it's been very good policy for me. Because I've never been busted. And I should have been many, many times.
Never? Never?
That one, an open-air drug deal. I called you on the way over, and I said, damn it, this doesn't feel right.
This doesn't seem real right. But you had a need. There's someone willing to give, fulfill that need in a black
someone
market way.
Someone created that need. I felt entrapped.
You probably were. You know, they get the guy, they pinch him, they go upstairs. Hey, man, who can you get? Roll over on someone. I know a dumbass who will show up for some green bud. And you know what's great
who
advice
up for $40?
What advice?
My total expenditure was $40.
What advice did the police officer give you, Michael?
Well, he said the marijuana probably came over in the prison purse of some illegal immigrant. And I said, no, it didn't.
No.
I said, that's the good stuff. That's some hydroponic stuff. That's crystallized.
And this was before, you know, we could go find that
anywhere.
Yeah,
before you could go to a dispensary in any state other than the state of Wisconsin. And he said, you know, you could have done a lot of good with that $40.
Yeah, what did you reply with?
I was literally sitting outside he pulled me over in front of a bar on my way home. Monkey Shines on the far west side, I think, at the time. I said, What could you have done with this $40? I said, it could have been that bar hammer drunk for $40.
Right.
That's what I would have been doing if you, hadn't pulled me over. So I got quite the lecture, and
well, I mean,
I wasn't having it.
Well, of course, so the ignorance is obvious, not just with that particular police officer, not with even friends of our, like, former Sheriff Mahoney.
David Mahoney.
Yeah, I mean, yes. and Hovde.
Good guy.
Here. Yeah.
Knows nothing about the marijuana industry.
No, of course. That's okay. You don't have to be an expert on everything, but just because you're running for Senate or just because you're a police officer doesn't make you an expert on the cannabis.
You know, once upon a time,
Alan Robinson's the expert on the cannabis.
David Mahoney told us he could help us buy an ounce of weed for like $100. And at the time, the going rate on the street was significantly higher than that.
Yeah.
You know, I knew a guy, and it was more than that. And we said, Dave, if you know a guy, and your guy's $100 an ounce.
Hook a brother up, man.
Yes, please, sir. Please do. And he was still in law enforcement at that time. And we were having a conversation on the radio, so it was probably awkward for him being called out as such. You know, didn't want to give away a trusted friend's name or anything. But now the answer is go to that place that Dom goes to in Fernglade, Michigan.
Ferndale.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Ferndale. Yes.
Ferndale, Michigan. Right, it's much better when you say it like that.
Right off of 696, curbside pickup, man. You barely... you can't fill your gas up any quicker than that.
I did that Midtown Madison one time. I got put in handcuffs. Now I can drive to Michigan. David, you want to know where it's cheap now? Michigan.
Yeah, real cheap.
It's great there. The president's going to be there tomorrow, but he's in Milwaukee today. And we got Joe Sempecki, our good friend, Dem strategist. He's joining us next. Vegas Joe. Milwaukee Joe. Our buddy Joe. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates, the 3-hour edition. You love it when Dom's here with me. You're listening right now. Call a friend. Tell him. Dom's in Madison. And the president, live on the Devil's Advocates after 4.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We've got a fine guest joining us live via StreamYard. He is Vegas Joe Sempecki. He's a friend of ours. He's going to help us rage against the machine. Joe, how you been?
Always.
How you been? Joe Biden in Milwaukee. And he does go there often.
Wheels.
At least
he's got to be wheels down by now, right?
Yes, he has arrived at the Boys and Girls Club about 3 o'clock, 3:06. So he's been on the ground for at least 28 minutes, Joe. Speechifying supposed to happen after 4 o'clock. We're going to cover, give you the live Joe Biden from Milwaukee on the Devil's Advocates next hour. But now we got Joe. So,
are we getting jacked up Joe Biden like we did last week?
Hyper caffeinated Joe. I love this Joe. This is my favorite Joe Biden. What do you think, Joe?
It was like the embodiment of a home game. Never has a human looked more at ease and more comfortable. And then you stop and think about it and you're like, oh, right. This man has spent more time in the United States Capitol, surrounded by legislators and lawmakers of both parties. He's like a fish in water, like a pig in stink. That is where that man belongs, and man, did he do a phenomenal job, in part because Republicans have so overplayed their hand, right? They want the American people to believe that the president of the United States is taking his meals through a straw, drooling in his soup, whatever, you know, weird version of the world they want you to believe is so disconnected from reality. Like, Joe Biden is old, stipulated. He is also doing the job and doing a fine job of being president of the United States. And that disconnect between what Republicans want you to believe about Joe Biden was finally fully put to rest with, I thought, a State of the Union for the ages. Good for old Joe. The old guy's still got it.
Joe Sempecki, my only fear. Can he ever top that performance again? Now he's got to go out there on the campaign trail and sell it town by town by town. Milwaukee today, Michigan tomorrow. I mean, we bring the enthusiasm each and every day, Joe.
it takes effort. It's work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to build up to campaign mode.
That's right. And, you know, for 226 days or whatever is left, Joe Biden's going to bring it, right? I mean, there's not a lot of people alive who wanted to be president for as long as Joe Biden and then got to do it. If you think for one single solitary second that this man is not going to fight and scrap and claw and bring his A game every single day to defend this country from what is we are at risk of if Donald Trump is restored to that office, like, forget it, man. Like, is he old? Yes. Does he look old? Yes. Are there going to be days when he sounds old? Yes. Is he the best hope this nation has for continuing the progress we've made? No question. Take it to the bank. So I want people to sort of lighten up a little bit. You know, we've had old presidents. We've had young presidents. We've had presidents in the middle, right? We have old CEOs. We have young CEOs. It, like, everybody just chillax. Joe Biden's got this.
Are we going to Eric Hudby's bank?
Take it to the bank, baby. Joseph Pecky, Dem strategist, our friend. Thank you for joining us, Joe. I agree. I think President Biden did a fine job, and I also think you're right, man. The expectations that the Republicans have laid out for the American people were so wrong and so out of whack. I mean, he had to get up there, and what did he say when he started? If I were smart, I'd leave right now. You know, it was a self-deprecating and also wise. And knowledgeable and fired up, and I think, and really angry about some of the things that Donald Trump has said and done, and I think justifiably so. People should be angry about these things. Donald Trump is a threat to this country, and I think Joe Biden specifically articulated some of the very things. Joe, you cannot love your country only when you win.
Hear, hear. And in addition to being genuinely angry about what Donald Trump represents, the way that Joe Biden presented a vision of a more optimistic, you know, America is on the march. There is nothing that this country can't do when it sets its mind to it. We are strong and growing stronger. When you think about where we were at the depths of the pandemic 4 years ago this week.
Wow.
Right? Just think about what your life was like 4 years ago this week. We didn't know what was next. Schools were being canceled. Businesses shut down. You know, no sports for, we didn't know how long. It was genuinely terrifying. And here we are today with an economy that is the envy of the world, with the production of semiconductors and the chips that are going to power the future being reshored to be built in America. You know, roads and runways and railways and bridges being rebuilt because of a bipartisan infrastructure law that Donald Trump turned into a punchline for 4 years, but Joe Biden got done. Like, that difference of Joe Biden saying we are still the envy of the world, we are still the indispensable nation, that every new business that starts is an act of hope, that sunny, I'll say, morning in America disposition, right? I mean, that stands in stark contrast to Donald Trump, who would have you believe, and he's not the only Republican, by the way, a lot of these ultra MAGA guys, that's their whole shtick, it's midnight in America, everything is terrible, we have to turn back the clock because America's best days are behind us. I call BS on that. Our best days have always been ahead of us. Joe Biden understands that. He told that story to the American people last Thursday night. And that's the choice in this campaign. Is it's not just between a 91 times, or I don't know, maybe it's only 87 after today, federally indicted, you know, potential felon, and a guy who has kept his nose clean and had a administration free of scandal. It is also between looking forward and looking backward, an optimistic view of America and our role in the world, and a guy who wants to retreat from the world and will look you in the eye and tell you America's best days are behind you. People ain't gonna buy that.
Joe, comparing and contrasting the content and the delivery of the president versus Senator Katie Britt, I'd like to get your take on the senator's...
The breathless Brit.
...content and delivery.
You're a media consultant, Joe. Did you prep her for that?
I did not. I would not. And I stand by my initial reaction, which is I do think that there was some logic to what they were trying to do. Republicans have a problem with women. They have a problem with young women. And they have a terrible problem when it comes to the issue of abortion and the Dobbs decision and Roe v. Wade. Just look at what's happening with IVF in this country. So I understood strategically what they were trying to do. And I do think there are, much to my dismay and presumably yours, millions of Americans who believe that that is what a wife and woman should be. So I don't think that that speech didn't work for anybody. The delivery was odd. And the what was even worse than the delivery is what turns out to be the truth.
Right.
Which is that she lied. Yeah. She lied to the American people. She wanted you to believe that because of Joe Biden's border, this 12-year-old was sex trafficked and raped. When the reality is, it happened 20 years ago. It didn't happen in the United States. Like, she lied about every dang part of it. And what that lie represents is a choice that she and other MAGA Republicans have made. They want you, the American people, to be scared, and they want you to be afraid because they think those are the only two feelings you can have that benefit them politically. That's a shame. It's a travesty, but it is clearly what they are trying to do.
Our fine guest, Joe Sapecki. Joe, will you indulge us? We've got the president speaking in Milwaukee in real time. Aaron, if you would, please play President Joe Biden addressing.
They pursued the full promise of America. Today, we're recognizing that history to make new history. I'm here to announce the first of its kind investment, $3.3 billion in 132 projects in 42 states are going to help right historic wrongs. And in the process, delivering environmental justice by reconnecting disadvantaged communities and neighborhoods, new opportunities for future prosperity and many possibilities. These investments advance my Justice 40 initiative to deliver at least 40% of all the benefits from clean transit, clean energy, and climate investment to disadvantaged communities. That's a commitment I made and we're keeping. Here in Milwaukee will mean $36 million in new federal funding to rebuild 6th Street.
Congresswoman Moore, very happy about that.
I think
wider sidewalks for children walking to school, safer bike lanes for residents and visitors, dedicated bus lanes to get to work faster, new trees to provide shade, modern infrastructure to prevent sewage from flowing into the Milwaukee River and the Lake Michigan. These are life-changing improvements. They're also going to make it easy for historic Black communities in the North and Latino communities in the South to access jobs, school, and entertainment. Opportunities in the city and Central Hub, from watching the Milwaukee Bucks play to attending Milwaukee Area Technical College. And if I didn't mention the Technical College, I'd go home and sleep alone because my wife is a full-time teacher at the community college. You all think I'm kidding. I'm not. And we're going to ensure that good-paying construction jobs created in this project go to members of the community benefiting the very same project. And with the help of your congressional delegation, especially Senator Tammy Baldwin, who worked so hard for these funds, we're making sure that the construction materials of this project are made in America.
Good plug for Tammy there.
And if I can digress for 1 second. Look, you know, I've been very involved for a while. I know I look like I just arrived, but I'm but all kidding aside, I didn't realize, even though I was deeply involved initially in the civil rights movement that got me involved to run for the first place, I didn't realize that back in Roosevelt's term, when they were going through the fights where the unions could organize, they added a provision to the law that not many presidents paid attention to. And it says that if the Congress appropriates money for the president to spend on a public project or any project, that he must use an American worker and he must use American material. Folks, very few live by that. Very few presidents did that, but not anymore. That's why we're creating jobs. Look, folks, you've lived in and felt the decisions made decades ago. Today, we're making decisions to transform your lives decades to come, and we're doing it all across America. Let's be clear. This groundbreaking investment comes from two historic laws I signed with the support of Tammy and Gwen. My bipartisan infrastructure law, most significant law, modernized our roads, bridges, and so much more in generations, most consequential investment. Another law, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the most significant investment in fighting climate change and advancing the environment ever in history, anywhere in the world. That's not hyperbole. And they're already making a difference. Look, let me give you one example. Back in December, I was in Milwaukee and met with a plumber named Rashawn, who owns it. Is he here? All right. Who owns his own small business, Hero Plumbing. That's removing hundreds of pipes, lead pipes, so children and families in this community can turn on the faucet, clean water comes out without the risk of brain damage. Well, it was supposed to take the city 60 years to eliminate all these pipes. To do this work because of the infrastructure law I signed, we're now getting it done, all of it done, every lead pipe in this city within 10 years. Gone. I was proud to have Rashawn as my guest at the State of the Union address last week. And folks, we're on the way to delivering clean water to every American. We're on the way to delivering affordable high-speed internet to every American at low cost. The communities too often left behind, we're rebuilding. We're rebuilding the roads. We're filling in the cracks in the sidewalks. We're creating spaces to live and work and play safely and to breathe clean air and to shop at a nearby grocery stocked with fresh and healthy food. We're taking on housing discrimination, increasing access to home ownership, and building more homes and apartments to bring the cost of rent down. Yeah. Which must be. Everything we're doing.
You're listening to the Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Very special edition. We got Joe Biden in Milwaukee. We'll come back after a brief break with more of the president's speech live from Milwaukee to the Boys and Girls Club. Keep it locked. Devil's Advocate Civic Media.
$80 million in Wisconsin for the state Small Business Credit Initiative, helping countless small businesses grow. In Milwaukee, small business applications are up 70% compared to before the pandemic. Small businesses make up half of our economy.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Hey, folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. President Joe Biden in Milwaukee, the Boys and Girls Club, speaking right now. We'll go back to that sound, please, Aaron.
And led by your Senator Ron Johnson, every single Republican in Congress voted against that as well, every single one. I signed a law to beat Big Pharma by giving Medicare the power to price prescription drugs and lower drug prices for seniors significantly. Every Republican voted against it as well. And by the way, guess what? It lowered the federal deficit by $160 billion. Didn't just save money for seniors. It didn't just save money for seniors. It meant Medicare didn't have to pay out those exorbitant costs. For example, those of you, everybody knows somebody who needs insulin for diabetes. Well, guess what? Just lowering the price to $35, and only cost $10 to make, by the way, instead of $400 a month, saved the government all that money. And now they're trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. Wisconsin's very own Senator Ron Johnson calls Social Security, I get this one, I'm amazed. He calls Social Security a Ponzi scheme. No, I'm serious, think about it. Did you ever think you'd hear anybody say that? A Ponzi scheme? Give me a break. You know, just this week, Donald Trump said cuts to Social Security and Medicare are on the table. When asked if he changed his position, he said, quote, there's a lot we can do in terms of cutting, tremendous amount of things we can do, end of quote. I want to assure you, I will never allow it to happen. I won't cut Social Security. I will not cut Medicare. Instead of cutting Social Security and Medicare to give tax breaks to the super wealthy, I'm going to protect and strengthen Social Security and Medicare to make the wealthy begin to pay their fair share. Look, folks, let me close with this. 4 years ago this week, I came to office. Our country was hit by the worst pandemic and economic crisis in a century. Remember the fear and anxiety everybody felt? Record job losses. raging virus that would take more than 1 million American lives. And for every life lost, there is estimated 8 close family behind. 8 children, mother, father, uncles, aunts. A mental health crisis of isolation and loneliness. A president, my predecessor, who failed the most basic duty any president owes the American people, the duty to care, just to care.
This is where Van Orden would yell,
"Lies!" In my view,
that's
unforgivable. I came to office determined to uphold the duty that gets us through one of the toughest periods in our nation's history. And we have. And now we're building a future of America full of possibilities. Building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up, not the top down. That top down stuff, not a whole lot landed on my dad's kitchen table growing up. Investing in all America and all Americans to make sure everyone has a fair shot. We leave nobody behind. Look, our plan is working. America's coming back. That's America. That's what this project is all about. The project for jobs and justice, prosperity, and unlimited possibilities. And that's why I swear to God, I've never been more optimistic about America's future than today. Not because I'm president, because we're one of those inflection points in history. We really are. Things are going to change no matter who's president in a big way. They're either going to change much for the better or much worse. All we have to do, folks, remember who in God's name we are. We're the United States of America. No. We're the only major country in the world that's come out of every crisis stronger than we went in. Stronger than we went in. There's nothing beyond our capacity. I mean it sincerely. Think about it. There's nothing beyond America's capacity if we do it together. And that's what we're going to do. May God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you so much. Thank
you, thank you. That was President Joe Biden speaking live in Milwaukee. Proud to bring it to you live and a fine guest to boot. We've got Vegas Joe Sopecki. He's stuck around. Appreciate you doing so, Joe. Not quite State of the Union, Joe, but still damn good, Joe. Always
get
appreciate
all the
when the president comes to Milwaukee.
It's great to have him. And I don't, he's done speaking, but apparently he's hanging out. I don't know. He's going to go have a brat and a beer or something. I don't know.
I'm sure he'll find some ice cream along the way, Joe. I mean, you know the president.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's you guys a dairy remember state.
Do you remember when he went to COPS about 14 years ago?
No. I do not. But my understanding is he's staying at the Pfister this evening, staying in Milwaukee, and then on to Michigan tomorrow.
That's right. Sleepover in the Midwest. The best coast.
I hear there's ghosts at that hotel.
Right. Okay, Joe, number one, thank you for your time and your flexibility. Are you able to stick around over the top of the break for maybe one more segment on the other side?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yes.
The bipartisan infrastructure bill, the Inflation Reduction Act, we heard a little bit about that. One of them, as mentioned, bipartisan, the other, not so much. And as we came back from a commercial and the president was talking specifically about Ron Johnson and the Republicans, I love the fact that the president is reminding everyone. I think people need to be reminded all the time, not only from, you know, his predecessor in January 6th and all those things, but some of the actual legislation and efforts that are being done by or pushed by this administration. Do you think that's going to be effective? Do you think that's going to, you know, catch on in the next 200 some days?
I do. You know, like, for example, listen, today there is no question that what is happening in the Middle East between Israel and Gaza is causing some political problems for President Biden. You know, we can sit here and point fingers and say, well, Biden's is better than this and would be better than somebody who wants to do a Muslim ban. That's not the point. There are voters right now on the left who should be Biden voters and who we hope to have as part of that coalition. Between now and November, a lot of work has to be done to earn those votes sort of back or earn them outright if we didn't have them in the past. And one of the things that's going to be a factor in that are this president's record of accomplishment. The fact that he did the biggest climate change bill in world history and is taking this on. And so when you look at that choice and that reality compared to the fact that not only did Donald Trump not get that done, there was not a single Republican in Congress who voted for it. They didn't vote for lower healthcare costs. They didn't vote for climate change incentives to build a new way to power our future. And so those types of issues are going to be at the forefront because they are central to the broad coalition of never Trump Republicans, once upon a time Trump Republicans, but no more, independents and Democrats who are going to be needed to assemble in coalition to protect this democracy.
Joe, are you at all disappointed that the Robin Voss recall effort apparently has come up short of signatures? Because you know Trump would have come to Wisconsin probably to recede to campaign against Robin Voss.
I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed that once again, somebody who made choices isn't going to have to face the consequences of those choices. We can talk about those choices after the break.
Make good choices, says Joseph Becky. No promises, says Dom. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. Make good choices. Stick around. You know you will. The incomparable Joseph Becky.